Chapter 3, John chapter 3. I want to tell you this before somebody else tells you. It's a joke now. Y'all bear with me just a little bit. Ain't nobody in no hurry, is it? Amen. This little boy, he was wanting to do something special for his mom and dad when they woke up. And he fixed coffee for them. And they woke up and they seen that coffee and they thought, man, this little boy able to make coffee, that's great. And they were just thinking about how great a son they had. And they were sitting there just admiring their son. They looked at him and they got to the bottom of their cup and there was little army men at the bottom of it. And they said, son, we really appreciate the coffee, but don't understand the army men. He said, well, Mom, Dad, I've always heard the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Amen. I don't know if y'all needed it. I needed that to settle down my nerves here tonight. John chapter 3, verse 16. Amen. I was talking about the love of God. I thought about this verse. I tell you what, this little verse right here tells the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told is right here in John 3, verse 16. You say, Brother Brady, that's for the novice to preach. No, it ain't. I mean, it's not. It's for the story, as Sister Myra sings, the old story will never grow old. Amen. The old story will never grow old. It shouldn't grow old to us Christians. Amen. Tonight, I know most of you can quote it, but would you stand with me as we read this verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16? John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, and if you want to say it with me and quote it, you're welcome to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beautiful words, isn't it? The greatest story ever told. And I think it goes good with this time of year. My friend, that's what the Christmas story is all about right here in this verse right here. And Lord, I was reading my devotions here a while back, and I come across this verse, and I thought, man, there's a lot in just this one little verse. And I want to share it with you right quickly. I won't be long. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Y'all pray with me and for me tonight while I preach on the greatest story ever told. Lord, I do thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach. Father, I don't take it lightly. Our pastors allowed us to preach. God, I pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, we need you, Lord, and we don't need us, but we need you, Lord. And I pray that what I say would be nothing that I need to say, but what you need to say through me. Lord, I want to be a mouthpiece for you, an instrument in your hand. God, that's what we want to be tonight. Lord, I don't want to say a thing, Lord, you wouldn't have me to say, but Lord, I want to say exactly what you'd have me to say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I see seven things in this one little verse. I want to give them to you right quickly. The first thing I see in this verse is the person. It starts with God. You know, anything that's ever been good started with God. In our lives, you know, for God so loved the world. God is the one. As a matter of fact, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you don't believe that, my friend, you might as well leave right now, because I'm not going to be able to help you. You know, you may be an atheist this evening. You heard about the atheist sitting with his little boy one day, and the little boy said to his dad, says, Dad, does God know we don't believe in him? That's about how crazy it is. You know, our pastor has used the example of taking a watch, and I've used this the other night. I was thinking about take a little phone and tear that thing apart and throw it up in the air, and you can throw that thing up a billion, trillion times, and it'll never come down as it was. And that's what they want us to believe, this bunch of junk about. But you must believe that, first of all, my friend, if you're going to get anything from God, the Bible says you must first believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You ever heard anybody say, well, you know, if there's a God in heaven, you don't come to him that way, my friend. You must believe that he is. Amen. Thank God it starts with God. Amen. For God. I thank God for that. I don't believe in that monkey business. Do you? If you believe that, I'd rather be the monkey's uncle than you. Amen. But the verse says, for God. And I like that, the person. And then it says the passion. So loved. So loved. I like that word so, don't you? I mean, when you hear that word so, it usually follows by the word that. And if I might would say I was so hungry that I had to eat. You know, or you can use different examples of that. But usually the word that is followed by the word so. But the Bible says that for God so loved the world. You know, it doesn't say, I was thinking about this, it doesn't say that for God was so holy, although I'm glad that God is holy, and he is holy tonight. I serve a holy God. You say, why are you glad he's holy? Well, for one thing, I'm glad he's holy because, you see, if he wasn't holy, he could tell me that he loves me and not really mean it, brother. But thank God, when God says, I love you, you can count on it. Amen. A lot of people will tell you that they love you, but you don't really know for sure if they mean it or not. But God, because he is a holy being, a holy God, when he says he loves you, he means it. Amen. If you leave here tonight thinking you're not loved, I don't see how you could, because God loves you so much. God loves you. I see not only the person, but God, but I'll see the passion that he so loved us. Amen. He so loved us. Thank God. It didn't even say that he was so wise, even though God is all wisdom, isn't he? He's all holy. He's all wise. But it says he so loved us. I like that word, don't you? So loved us. Let's read on. For God, that's the person. So loved, the passion. Now look at the people. For God so loved the world. Amen. That's the people. He loved the whole world. Pastor, I thank God that I've got just enough sense just to believe what God said when he says, for God so loved the world. Don't make it complicated. When he said he loved the whole world, just believe it just like it says it, amen. For God so loved the world. Some people, they're educated beyond their intelligence. I think sometimes people, they read books, and I've seen a lot of preachers messed up with books sometimes, Pastor, and I'm sure you have. But I thank God I can just believe God when he says, for God so loved the world. And I'm not against other books, don't get me wrong. They can help you. But they can mess you up if you're not careful. For God so loved the people, the world. That means you, my friend. He loves you tonight. Amen. For God so loved the world. And I said a minute ago, anytime you hear that word so, it's usually followed by the word that. And here it is. For God so loved the world that. You know what? He so loved us that he had to do something about it. He was so in love with us that it made him do something. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that says they love you all the time and don't ever want to do anything for you. But God so loved us that what did he do? I see the price here. The person, the passion, the people, and then the price. God gave his only begotten son. Thank God for that. And I was thinking about this the other day. God, he didn't turn around to find one of his angels, Michael or Gabriel. I mean, one of the holy angels, they wouldn't do. It had to be his son. But I think about it, brother, when God went to find the person to take my place, God got his very best. God give us his very best. That blesses me tonight. God give us his very best. He didn't give us his second best. But God give us his only begotten son, the very best that he had. God give it to us. Amen. Brother Jerry and I were talking about before service, and I'm sure he said this here, but how God, everything he's ever done, it was unto us. Unto us. You know, and not only did he do something for us, but he give us his very best. Did you get that? The very best that God Almighty, the creator of this universe, the very best that he had, he give it to you and he give it to me. Boy, it makes me just want to give my best back to him. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I was thinking about this. We were in Michigan a few weeks ago up there in the on the mission field, brother. Some of y'all get that after a while. Up north, what I'm trying to say, up in Michigan. But anyway, we had a great time up there, enjoyed it so much. And we went to this competition, this horse pull. They had several different kind of competitions, mules and horses and other things that were competing. There we had some time off and we went to watch them as they competed against each other. And they would have a master that would be behind them that would lead the sled. It was like a sled, but it wasn't pulling it on ice or anything like that or on snow. They were pulling this sled on just bare ground and just a sandy ground. And the leading team got up to almost 10,000 pounds. Two horses were able to pull this amount. And I enjoyed that so much, Pastor, watching them, those big old draft horses. And you could just see the muscles poking out as they were just straining. I mean, some of them, they just like do like that, just bear down and give it all they could. Matter of fact, some of them even slipped while they were trying to pull with all their might. Now, and I thought about that. As I was watching them do that, Pastor, I thought to myself, that's what I want to do for God. Those masters of those horses, like I said, it's usually two of them. And they would say, "Gid," or "ho," I believe is the other word that they would use. And as soon as they would say that, I mean, they would just bear down on their hoofs and start trying to plow, you know, start trying to pull with all their might. Like I said, you could see just muscles poking out everywhere. They were very trained. And I thought to myself, man, that's what I want to do, brother. I want to give God everything I've got, every ounce of my being, everything, every every fiber of my being, I want to give it to God. I want to give him not only my soul and my spirit, but I want to give him my heart. I want to give him all of my heart. The Bible says this way, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Are you wanting to do that tonight? Amen. Anybody with me tonight? Say hello or something. Amen. I hope I'm getting this across like I feel it tonight. That's why I'm wanting to get this across to you, that God give us the best that he had, the very best that we have. No wonder Paul said, this is not really the sermon, but I believe it fits. No wonder Paul said there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? It's just reasonable. After all that God has given us, I mean, it wasn't just an extra son that he had. He didn't have any spare sons. He sent us. If I had 10 of them, none of them would be spares. Amen. I've got four girls, but I don't count any of them as spares, brother. Amen. I love every one of them. But God give us the only one he had. The only one he had. You get that? If you don't, you miss the meaning of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. God, what he done for us, giving all he had. And I know this verse is usually normally used for the unsaved, And I let me quickly say, it is for you tonight. If you're unsaved, this verse is for you. Thank God. I love this verse at the age of 6 when I heard that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. It was beautiful back then. But you know what? It speaks to me, Brother Kenya, right now, when I think about God giving the very best that he had for me. It makes me just want to bear down. I mean, it just makes me want to lock my heels and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my very best. You give me your very best, and I don't have much, but thank God, little is much when God's in it. Amen. I don't have much, but I'm going to give it all to the Lord. I want to give it all tonight. Do you want to give it all? Or you just want to serve God when it's convenient? Amen. Do you just want to serve God? And as Pastor was talking about, I believe this morning, about just being religious. You know, you can be religious, but when you get Jesus in there, it changes things. Amen. It changes things. For God so loved the world, the passion, the person, the passion, the people, the world. Thank God for that. The price, his only begotten son. Listen to this. Now, don't you notice that not only that, but the prospect. The prospect. y'all can tell this is original. Ain't too fancy. Amen. The prospect. Who's it for? Whosoever. Whosoever. Let's talk about that word whosoever tonight a little bit. If I said tonight, and this is hypothetically speaking now, if I said tonight I was going to take everybody out to supper tonight, hypothetically speaking, I ain't doing that. And I said, whoever wants to go can go. Y'all would think, well, everybody in here could go, right? But you know what? If I said the word whosoever wants to come, that would kind of give you the impression that you could pick up somebody on the way to the restaurant. Amen. Amen. You see, that word whosoever is an emphatic way of saying the word whoever. In other words, that word whosoever is whoever on steroids, if you understand that. Maybe us rednecks can understand it that way. Amen. Whosoever, whosoever. Let me put it to you this way if you didn't get that one. I used to, before I started traveling a lot, years ago, this before I even taught, a lot of you know I taught instruments for a while. Before I even started doing that, I sold a motor club, a thing called motor club for my dad. My dad had a small business back then. And the motor club, it only costs, it's sort of like AAA. Most of you are familiar with AAA. Audience participation, amen. you familiar with AAA? Well, it's sort of like that, but on a lot smaller scale. And for about $25, Pastor, you could get into this Palmetto Motor Club is what it was called, Palmetto Motor Club. So for $25, I could get somebody in it. And, man, I went door to door, and that's where I learned I'm really shy, really down deep, man. I'm still shy, but I learned how to talk to people just a little bit back then. You say, who did you go after? I said, well, red, yellow, black, or white, they was all precious in my sight, you know, because I was going after everybody. I mean, if you had $25, you were my prospect. I was going to try to get you to join up with this club. But you know what? It's the same thing with this gospel that I have. But guess what? You don't even have to have $25. You just have to believe. You just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm saying red, yellow, black, or white, they are all precious in his sight. They are tonight. Our prospect is anybody. Isn't that great? I don't even have to worry about if you got any money in your pocket. Amen. You could come to Jesus. Matter of fact, it's best if you don't have anything. It's really best when you come to Jesus if you don't have anything, because if you got anything, you might be feeling like what you've got is going to get you what he has. But I want to say to you, when we come to him, we come empty-handed. Empty-handed we come to him. Simply to the cross I cling, as the song says. We come to him empty-handed. Notice not only the person, the passion, the people, the price, the prospect. But I guess it turns a little bit on the negative side in this story. It's been a good story so far, hasn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, notice the perishing, should not, what? Perish. Now really, honestly, that verse could stop right there and I could shout. Because you know what that means? Should not perish, brother Mark, means, listen, I don't have to go to hell. That's what that means. I don't have to go to hell. Thank God for that word, should, or phrase, should not perish. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to hell? Amen. That's wonderful tonight. Should not perish. But there is a perishing there for those that don't believe. My friend, if you don't believe tonight, that's what you're going to do, is spend eternity in hell. You're going to perish. That's a terrible word, isn't it? You're going to hell if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. But thank God, that's all I had to do, is believe on him. Whosoever believeth on him. Actually, the verse says in him. Now, let me say this quickly. When it says in him, it doesn't just believe. It just doesn't mean that you just believe that Jesus existed. What it means is that you're putting your faith in Jesus. All you're putting your faith and all of your trust is in Jesus. This is the way you feel. If I go to hell, I'll go to hell trusting Jesus. And guess what? Nobody's ever went to hell believing that. Nobody's ever went to hell trusting in Jesus. Amen. You put your faith and your trust in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Thank God I don't have to perish. Amen. I could shout a while on that. I'm not going to hell. Don't get excited now. You're just not going to hell and burning forever and ever. I mean, nothing to get excited about. Matter of fact of business, as the old timers would say, we should be a lot more excited than we are because of what God has saved us from. Matter of fact, that's what he did, is went to hell, as it were, for us. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, believeth in him should not perish. I love this. But have everlasting life. Oh, that's good, ain't it? But have everlasting life. And you know what, Brother Lewis? It's not that something that I'm going to get one of these days, everlasting life. You're looking at a man right now that has everlasting life right this minute. The very moment that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he give me everlasting life. Thank God. Now you say, well, we're gonna die one of these days. Yeah, this body is not everlasting, but my soul and spirit has everlasting life. And thank God it doesn't end there. Praise God, one of these days he's gonna give me a new body. Woo! This incorruptible here is gonna put on, this corruption, excuse me, is gonna put on incorruption. This mortal body is going to put on immortality. And guess how quickly it happens. Watch this. Watch this. Did you get it? Some of you didn't get it. Watch this. This is how quickly it's going to happen. I'm going to get a new body, and so are you if you're saved. It's going to happen this quick. In the moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, amen, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. And this body, I will have an everlasting body. Thank God I've got everlasting life right now. Somebody said, are you going to heaven? I'm already there, really. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us, and this is another message, and I'm just about through. I'm trying to wind it up. But the Bible teaches us that we are citizens of heaven trying to make it through this world. We're not citizens of this world trying to make it to heaven. Amen. Did you get that? We're citizens of heaven. I have everlasting. Matter of fact, the Bible says I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places right now. Boy, don't that make you feel secure? Woo, mercy. That's good stuff, amen. But I have everlasting life. I heard a good illustration. Well, let me say this first, and then I'll give the illustration. I see in this verse judgment. I see in this verse mercy. I see in this verse grace. Let's look at it. Well, when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus said it, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was judgment. You see, God put judgment on his son. He gave us his only begotten son. That was the judgment. Let's look at the mercy. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's mercy right there. Amen. I deserve hell. As a matter of fact, let me remind you, and I need to be reminded of this, we all deserved hell. I mean, sometimes when we've been in the Lord's service a while, we think, man, I may have been a little good before I got saved. And we're not any good right now. We still live in this old sinful, wicked body. But God had mercy on us. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy. But not only do I see mercy, but thank God I see grace. But have everlasting life. Let me put it to you this way. And I'm closing. Say, for instance, one of us went out and committed murder. You say, I would never do anything like that. You don't know what you're guilty or maybe capable of doing. You don't. We're all, like I said, living. God forbid that any of us would do something like that. But we're capable of doing that kind of stuff because we're living in this old wicked, sinful body. Say if we did that, one of us done that. And we were guilty of it. And the father of that person that we murdered come to us and said, listen, you deserve the electric chair. Matter of fact, you shot my son. You murdered him with a gun. I think the best thing to do for you is for you to be shot. And that would be right. If we kill somebody with a gun, we ought to be shot ourselves. That's just the way I believe. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. Y'all Bible believers, ain't you? Amen. That would be judgment. That man would be placing judgment on us. But let me take it a little bit further. Say that father of that son come to us and said, listen, you deserve to die, but I'm going to let you live. I'm just think of this thing never happening. That'd be mercy. Oh, man. You don't have to perish. you can go free. But let me show you where grace steps in. Not only did God do that for us, but let's say, for instance, that father come to us and said, I'm not going to let you die like you killed my son. I'm going to let you live. I'm having mercy on you. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You come to my house, and you stay in my son's room, and you enjoy what my son enjoyed while he was living. That would be grace. I want to say, my friend, that's exactly what God Almighty did for you. Amen. He says, I'm going to have mercy on you. You're not going to have to perish. But guess what? Just come on to my house. Enjoy what I prepared for you. Amen. Thank God for John 3:16. And guess what? You can say it this way. For God so loved you and me that he gave you and me his only begotten Son, that if you or me believeth in him, that you and I would not perish, but that you and you and you and you and you and everybody that's believed in him should not perish, but we could have everlasting life. It's a personal thing. Thank God for John 3:16, the greatest story ever told. Thank God for it tonight. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed. Lord, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach. Father, I thank you for Pastor allowing us. Lord, I pray that you would have your perfect will and way in the invitation time. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.